Did you see this, Andy?
Yes or okay. No?
I couldn't get myself to watch it. I'm sorry.
I was. Oh, go ahead, Andy.
No, go ahead. I want you to
make your excuses.
I don't want to make any. Just you go. Lisa, anyway. You're more than a diversity addition to this podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. I actually feel like I'm friends with Ellen a little bit.
You're joking.
No, I kid. I wouldn't joke about Ellen. I did win a pregnant dance-off, and Kate Hudson and Ellen were the judges.
Really? Did you see this, Andy?
Yeah.
Maybe, but I can't speak for every woman, so I'm not like the mouthpiece for our gender. Maybe just on this. Well, I'm just looking right now at the movie poster for Shaft, and like the tagline for it is "More Shaft than you can handle." Oh, so yeah. I don't know what you guys were expecting going into it. I mean,
do you find Keanu Reeves handsome?
I do. Yeah.
Thank you. Do you ever cry in those, Seth? Like you cry in everything else?
Hey, how are you? Good. I'm Andrew. Look, I'm not getting married. No one asked you. I just asked you about using treadmill, man. Calm down.
Welcome to TWIM with Seth, Andy, Ben, and Lisa. I don't want to make it weird. Not going to make it weird. We have a woman on the podcast today. It's normal.
Everyone, be cool.
Nothing unusual about this.
You know, everything's normal.
You know what I could see happening with this is she what? Puts all three of us out of business.
Yeah. And gets our paychecks from this.
Oh, I didn't know we were getting paid.
Yeah. We are going to cover movies new to the top 10 over the weekend, including Late Night, which came in at number 9. It was its second week out, but first weekend wide release. And then Shaft, that came in at number 5. Men in Black International came in at number 1, earning $28.6 million. And then we're going to cover what comes out this weekend wide release, including Toy Story 4, Child's Play, and Anna. Okay, so let's start with Late Night.
Who are you?
I'm a new writer.
The new female writer.
Yeah, I can see that, Brad.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Late Night. It's currently 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. The stars Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling. What did you guys think?
I liked it. It was, you know, it was funny because I sat next to Lisa and Seth. You were next to her. You two were laughing a lot, like more than I was.
Really?
We probably just have a lot better senses of humor, maybe.
Yeah. Well, once we walked out, I was trying to think, like, so when you know you have to do a podcast, you can't really passively watch it. You have to be thinking, like, what do I think? Is it good? Is it bad? Like, what do I think of it? And Lisa was like, I'm really the demographic for this movie. You said you really liked it, at least right after. Well, that was your knee-jerk reaction, Lisa. Is that still, hold up? Or?
I liked it, but here's the thing. I'm a big Mindy Kaling fan. I also really like Emma Thompson. And like so much of it, like I like her sense of humor a lot. So a lot of the jokes, like I feel like they're smart jokes a lot of the time. And so it's not like they're making fun. I don't know if everyone's seen it or not, but like they make fun of like this comedian who like he thinks it's funny to talk about like, oh, well, we poop in their shoes, like, you know, or something like that.
Yeah,
and it's like,
he was so dumb.
Like, I see stuff like that and I'm like, I don't find that very funny at all. But yeah, I just really liked a lot of the subtle humor in it. And like I said, I mean, I've read both of Mindy Kaling's books. Like, I liked her in The Office. I've watched all the Mindy projects. So, like, I'm exactly the demographic for this, I think.
Andy, do you still have Mindy fatigue? You said you had Mindy Kaling fatigue.
Well...
Did you see this, Andy?
Wait.
Yes or no?
Did you see the preview?
Yeah, I did. I couldn't get myself to watch it. I'm sorry. I was...
Oh, go ahead, Andy.
No, go ahead. I want you to...
Make your excuses, and then I'll...
I don't want to make any. Just... You go.
I was a little disappointed that the best parts of the movie were in the preview. Like, I thought in the preview where they showed the White Savior gag that they were doing on the talk show, that they would have, like, more to it. But they didn't... That was it. And then like, one of the main points in the movie where there's, like, a press... There's all this press, like... And they put Emma Thompson on the spot, like, oh, your writing staff is all white. And Mindy Kaling kind of comes to the rescue and starts making up all this BS, like, I'm a splash of color on the gray canvas of the writing staff.
Yeah.
That whole thing was in the preview, and I felt like all the important moments in the movie were spoiled for me before I saw it.
Maybe. I felt like the preview led you to believe that Mindy Kaling was going to like steal the spotlight. And that wasn't it at all.
Yeah, I only saw the preview, but that's what I thought too.
I think maybe I just saw a shorter preview than you guys, because I didn't see hardly any of that in the previews. And so, but I do hate that when movies are spoiled by previews. And a lot of times I'll leave a preview or a movie and I'll think like, oh, I don't even need to see that one because they just gave away the entire movie. So maybe it's good that I didn't see very many previews, because I thought it was like, again, I liked it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was good too. It was interesting how they totally addressed her as, yeah, you're a diversity hire. And that's that. And they,
yeah.
That wasn't subtle. I was surprised they did that.
Well, but you have to think about it. I bet you Mindy Kaling has heard that a lot in her career, because a lot of writing rooms are all male, right? And so I bet you she's heard that a ton. And so she feels like she's had to prove like, oh, like not just any woman could be hired, not just any minority could be hired. Like you actually still have to be talented. And so I think a lot of this movie was like a good way for her to like, get out a lot of things that she's been wanting to say publicly, but maybe hasn't had the right venue for it.
Yeah, that's actually, there are a lot of movies about making movies and the experience of an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So she was, who else wrote it? Was it just Mindy who wrote this?
I think so.
She's the only credited writer on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is it bad to be a diversity hire? Is it like...
Well, it's kind of insulting if someone puts it that way, because then it's like you're not here because people think that you've earned it or you deserve to be here. Like you're just here because of the color of your skin, or you're just here because you're a woman. You know what I mean? So it kind of takes away from like what you feel like you've put into.
It's like a
something.
True Scotsman's fallacy. Like, oh well, you're here, but you're not really good enough.
Right? Yeah.
Like got into college, I guess, I don't know, when I got into BYU, I remember someone saying like, oh, you're so lucky that you're Asian, so you got in. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's the only reason I got in. And actually, I never put down my race, because I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to be stacked up against the Asians, because like stereotypically, they're all really smart, right? And so I remember filling out my application and being like, should I put like my...
Your math scores? No.
I'm very bad at math. But I remember thinking, should I not put my ethnicity here, because I don't know if being Asian would work for me or against me.
But Lisa, you're more than a diversity addition to this podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. Speaking of which, that's how I should have introduced you guys.
Speaking of diversity hires.
Well, it's funny because once we left the movie, I looked at Seth and Ben and I was like, did you guys see like the moral of that movie? It's like, if you bring in like an Asian woman, things just get better, right?
Yeah. That was the theme of the movie. It's like Mindy's taking credit for being the catalyst.
What's interesting about this, you know, Mindy Kaling's brother is the guy that faked being black to get into medical school. Did you hear about this?
Are you serious?
He was applying to medical school. He joined like the Black Students Association or something like that. And on all of his applications, he listed himself as black. And he even like, he shaved his head in his photos to like look less Indian and more black and stuff. So, I mean, that had to have colored this story, right? I mean, Mindy Kaling was the writer and the lead of this movie. That had to have been a commentary on that, right?
Probably. I feel like I want to read up on it now. I had never heard that. It's interesting.
So there's something funny about this movie. So I've said where you can tell when a woman has written the movie versus the man has written the movie, because if a woman writes the movie, the women are, they're self-conscious and they're like klutzy or like, but if a man writes them, the women are like super confident and, you know, you can see like sometimes you can see subtle hints of that.
They're more like a caricature.
So this one, the day after we watched it, I was thinking about her initial love interest, that guy who was a stand-up comedian, then they find out he had like a romp with somebody else, and they villainize this guy because he was a scumbag. Yeah, right. I was thinking about that guy, like, what is his type? Think about the two women he hooked up with.
Women in the workplace is his type.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess guys have some types, but I don't think people like really stick to their types a ton. Because if you think back, I mean, I mean, just the women that I've seen Andrew converse with and be attracted to, there's a whole spectrum.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know. I think that people do have types per se, but it's not like it's, for most people, it's not like a diehard rule that you do or you don't. But what I did like in this movie is, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but something does not go well with Mindy with the guy that she's interested in. And it's not like she sits there and thinks like, oh, is it because I'm not cool enough, or oh, am I not pretty yeah. enough, or thin enough, or funny enough? Like, she just right away was like, well, maybe you should find someone that, or she, I don't remember her exact reply, but it was like something like she was very confident about it. Like right off the bat, it was like, well, this is your loss, man. You know what I mean? And I liked that
yeah.
because I'm glad that it didn't have to turn into like, well, what did I do wrong? And what's my problem here? It was
yeah.
like, this guy is a loser. She's moving on.
You know what I was really impressed with? Just changing topics a little bit, but I'm trying to think of like examples that resonated of like a really strong woman personality. Emma Thompson in this was really like, she'd walk into the room and own it. Like you could totally mm-hmm. see her as a boss. She'd make these really cutting comments. And it reminded me a lot of Veep, Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Veep.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she was kind of a caricature, she was like so in control
yeah.
and powerful. There's this opening scene where this guy is applying for a raise and she eviscerates him. Like he's like, well, I just had a baby, and she tears him apart.
Right.
And then she's like, well, you're fired, obviously.
Obviously.
Now let's hire a woman.
And he made a classic mistake asking for a raise. He started off saying, oh, my situation changed, you have to pay me more, instead of saying,
yeah,
I want to bring more value mm-hmm. and more responsibility or something.
Yeah. And
that was a clear
cut. Feminist. Didn't you think her little feminist, like lesson she gave him? I'd never heard that before. She's like, oh yeah, in the 50s, men would ask for a raise because they needed to support their family.
Yeah.
Well, women weren't expected to support their families. I was like, oh, I'd never put that together. I didn't realize that was like a thing.
I love that was in the preview that I saw. And I remember watching that preview and being like, can I slow clap right now? Like that was fantastic.
Yeah, she was kind of an inconsistent character, though, because so I guess she didn't know the writers that wrote for her. She'd never even met most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they happened to all be white men.
Yeah.
Didn't that strike you as unrealistic that like she would have never met her writers?
Right.
She didn't even know their names. I don't know how those kind of shows work, but that struck me as a little bit
yeah.
unrealistic.
That would be weird.
It made me really curious about how it really is with other late night shows and how it is with the writers.
Yeah.
Right. I have read a bunch of, like, I guess this is like, it's funny, since I've had kids, I don't do a ton of recreational reading, but like the books that I've read have been like Tina Fey's Bossy Pants and Amy Poehler's Yes Please, and then
uh-huh.
a couple Mindy uh-huh. Kaling books. And so apparently like that's my lighthearted reading that I like. And there's a lot of like behind the scenes, like what it's like to write and work at Saturday Night Live and what it was like at The Office and Parks and Rec. And so I've read a little bit about writer's rooms there, but yeah, I'd be really interested to see what other late night writer's rooms are like, because you would think that the host would have to interact a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Like, wouldn't they want to like go through the line, like work on the lines with them, like
mm-hmm.
go over
yeah.
them with them kind of?
And like, shouldn't she be the one to sign off on her, like all the jokes she wants to do?
Well,
and that
yeah.
guy?
I think that she probably could do that and say like yes or no, but she wouldn't have to necessarily be in the room with them.
Yeah. Well, clearly I was thinking during the movie that, well, the premise is the show's getting stale, and based on
yeah.
how they were
out.
Set up, that was pretty obvious they're going to go mm-hmm. stale, because
yeah.
people are just punching the clock yeah. and they're not really having, you know, like this interaction. And I was also curious, do you think this is based off of Ellen, or like that's the analog in real life?
That's what I was asking, just because of her look, that short hair and blonde. But I, after,
was she lesbian?
After seeing the movie, I didn't get that vibe. She was not, like, her personality was nothing like Ellen.
Yeah.
Like, she
no,
wasn't,
you're
totally
right.
different.
But she, the things that reminded me about Ellen were how she dressed, and also she talked
mm-hmm.
a lot about,
that's true.
Integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was thinking maybe mm-hmm. they're taking off from her. She's the closest.
Have you watched Ellen before?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I've seen clips. She's always really funny, but I've never like watched her. I've seen like her dance. I guess she comes out and dances on stage.
Lisa,
like,
can tell you all
thing?
That. Seth, she is, her show is so funny. It's so enjoyable. And she's just a genuinely
Lisa watches
good
it?
Person.
I actually feel like I'm friends with Ellen a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, you were on Ellen, huh? You actually went and you were on stage, weren't you?
I was. Yeah, I just got lucky and was pulled down as an audience member. And so I got to like sit across from her and talk to her. And then she sent me to the Grammys like with her DJ and like they filmed me with him for a day. And then they brought me back to her.
You're joking.
No, I kid. I wouldn't joke about Ellen. And then they brought me, Ben and I went to the taping of her post-Grammy show. So then she like asked me like how it all was. And then also I went, I got to go for her Mother's Day show. When you're pregnant, she fills her audience with pregnant women, or for Mother's Day, she fills her audience with pregnant women and they just give you all this stuff.
Have you seen it before? Have you heard of that?
Like,
no.
So I went when I was pregnant with Gemma because they want first time moms. And I got like a crib, a car seat, a stroller, like 6 months worth of diapers, 6 months of baby food, a washer and dryer.
Seth, it was the best. That totally saved us.
It was like unreal.
We got a washer and dryer. And then because we're in California, we had to pay taxes on it. And then later they sent us a check to cover the taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's classy. They didn't have to
Ellen
do that.
Ellen is a classy
We got
lady.
A stroller, a crib, all sorts of baby stuff. It was like thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
I mean,
Ellen, that's what everyone in the audience got. It was awesome.
Ellen wouldn't know me from like anyone, but I feel like she's like really helped us out in a couple. Yeah. And so I like feel like a kinship with her.
I mean, that was so fantastic. 7 or so years ago. And I still feel
it's
like
just so fun.
I owe her. It was the best.
That's interesting. I wonder what the economics of that are. I mean, I imagine advertisers come in and she's like, "Hey, don't pay me. I want you to give it to my audience."
I think that's what they do. Yeah.
Oprah did.
Mm-hmm. And
that is cool though.
And like even the day of the show, like, because everyone's pregnant in the audience, right? So they have medics on standby. They're like in the bathroom. We have like, or they're like on the side. There's tons of snacks if anyone gets hungry. Like they're
like, go to bathroom whenever you want. The bathroom's right here.
Yeah.
That is cool.
It was great.
That is so cool.
And side note. At that episode, I did win a pregnant dance-off, and Kate Hudson and Ellen were the judges.
Really?
Wow, I feel like Seth, you're looking at a rising star here.
No, my friends, yeah, no kidding. My friends volunteered me for it, and then Ellen and Kate Hudson were like looking up at me, and I was like, oh, I can't not dance. Anyway.
Okay, so is that it for late night? Should we move on to Shaft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, I'm looking for
Shaft.
Mm-hmm.
Who's asking?
John Shaft Jr. Your son.
My son? Junior?
Yeah.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Shaft. This is 34% on Rotten Tomatoes. It stars Samuel L. Jackson and who plays his son? Jesse T. Usher. And then the funny thing is the guy that plays Shaft's father, or Samuel L. Jackson's father, is actually 6 years older than him. Richard
Really?
Braintree.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wait, do you think Samuel L. Jackson had like CGI on his face again on this movie? Because if they're only 4 years apart.
Well, the beginning he definitely did. They're 6 years apart.
Oh yeah, when he was younger.
The beginning they definitely de-aged him, but it didn't look very good. He looked better just natural. It was like, it wasn't as well done as they do in the Marvel movies, like they did in Captain Marvel with him.
Right.
So I saw this. Ben, you saw this, right?
Yeah.
Did you see this, Andy?
Yeah.
What? Okay. That was a mumble. So Seth, what's your, I want to hear your take on it because we talked a little bit about it, but I didn't really hear it all.
Okay. So I thought that Samuel L. Jackson was, let me give you a corollary. Did you guys ever see Dirty Grandpa with Robert De Niro and what's his name?
Zac
that
Efron.
Kid from High School Musical.
I just saw Zac Bad Efron. Grandpa.
Okay. So what was it called? Bad Grandpa or Dirty Grandpa? What was it? I can't remember.
I think you're thinking of the same movie.
Okay.
The Jackass
okay.
one. Bad Grandpa.
Oh, never mind. Been thinking of a different.
Dirty Grandpa is the one you're talking about.
Okay. So Robert De Niro made such a fool of himself. He was so crass and offensive, and it wasn't funny. And that came through a little bit with Samuel L. Jackson. Like, he was supposedly like really cool. He's like this black James Bond.
Right.
And very, very, and all the women would just kind of like drool over him, you know, even though he's 70 years old. He's older than our parents. parents. So he's like 76 now. For example, he would refer to women as pussy. And it was like, this is cool. Like, Shaft is really cool. And he calls women pussy because he doesn't care, you know? And his son is supposedly a nerd because he has an apartment with nice furniture and he like pays his bills on time and knows his FICO score. And he
doesn't
like
own a gun.
Yeah, yeah. Although that was kind of incongruent. Like the movie tried to play both ways with that. But yeah, so I just thought like Samuel L. Jackson's character was like the racist grandpa that you have at Thanksgiving or like the older uncle or something where it's just not.
Yeah.
They're stuck in this old-fashioned way of viewing things that's now kind of offensive because sensibilities a little, you know, when you're around somebody who's really homophobic and like, I don't know, there's like, I mean, that was a little bit in this movie too. He's like, do you like pussy? And he's like, yeah, dad, I'm not gay. I like pussy. Like, oh, prove, what does a pussy look like? It's like, I know. So crass. And you're like, ugh, like,
but it was intended,
you're not cool, Shaft. It's like,
it was, I think it was intended that he was this bad who, like, I really think boomers will think this guy's like, oh yeah, he's like showing these millennials. Like, he could not see a woman without sexualizing her. He didn't see her.
That was what, yeah, that's what the movie wanted you to think. Like, Samuel L. Jackson is so cool because he's like taking down millennials. But the whole time I'm looking at it, like, this kid has got it together. He should just get away from Samuel L. Jackson.
And to me, Shaft, like the character, that's everything wrong with some of the older generation. That, like, that version of manhood is what I reject. Like, that is not being a man.
That's, it's classic toxic masculinity is like women are just nothing but, like, there's a scene where you first meet him, he's got a stripper opens the door, she's got glitter all over his body, and then Samuel L. Jackson comes in and his beard is all covered with glitter, so it's like, so the implication is he's been like, you know, licking her body or something. It's like, it's not cool, you know, it's just kind of douchey. It's like,
yeah,
it's almost offensive the way his character was. And it would have been fine if they portrayed it that way, but they were trying to convince you that he was the cool one.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And watching the movie, you weren't buying it. You're like, he's not cool. He's kind of a loser, you know, and he's 75 years old and he's not going into clubs having women drool over him. I'm not buying that, you know?
I'm totally with you. Also, so, this, like we were talking about earlier, this movie wants you, all that's going on. And at the same time, the movie wants you to believe that women get turned on by being in gunfights. And like their nipples get hard. Like, come on. It was so dumb.
Man. Yeah.
Like, and that's even in the preview where it shows the Sasha character in like slow motion, like biting her lip as her, you know, love interest is shooting a gun while they're at a restaurant. It, like, okay, I guarantee no woman was on the writing staff because that would have been shut down immediately. If it was, I don't understand it. And then they're selling the same idea that women are only interested in men who are like that super macho toxic thing. You know, I see what they're going for, but 20 years ago, I think it would have been okay, but I don't think it works now.
Right. I was just thinking, like, even that scene where you're talking about how, first of all, the woman's the one with a gun.
Oh yeah, and, she owns the gun.
But then Shaft Jr. is the one that's like, oh, give me the gun. I'll make sure and use it correctly. And he's like dead shot. He's like killing everybody.
Yeah.
And she's getting turned on by it. That seems like a sensibility that faded away like 30 years ago, you know? Like
with the first James Bond movies, right? Or early James Bond.
Right. It was just so, it just seemed so out of touch.
But also he had to protect her. I don't know. It was wrong
exactly.
All the way.
With her gun. Like she had the gun. Like,
yeah,
it just, like nowadays, you just can't do that. You can't have the woman be the damsel in distress because, I mean, that's just like that. That's been done for the last 200 years and it's like sensibilities have changed and that's almost like not allowed anymore.
But that's also, I agree with you, but that's not, I don't think that hits it on the head why it was so wrong. It was glamorizing the toxic parts and it was,
yeah.
I think this was like a baby boomers thing, like, oh yeah, showing these millennials how they're dumb and they can learn the ways and be masculine again. They've lost their masculinity.
Yeah.
I feel like that was an element in the motive.
Well, I didn't see it, and this isn't really like my kind of movie, to be honest.
It's not.
So, but just hearing, I do have to say, like, if I witnessed a gunfight, that would not make me more attracted to someone. In fact, I would like run for the hills. But also, like, I just remember, you know, like if I was, I just remember like a few guys like I hung out with or were dating, and like I remember watching like an intramural basketball game, and like one of them like started to like pick a fight with a guy, and I found that so unattractive. Like, I remember seeing that and being like, oh, okay, this is not my thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine if I saw someone like pull out a gun, I would be mortified. And like I said, I would run for the hills. That's not for me. Yeah. Maybe, but I can't speak for every woman. So I'm not like the mouthpiece for our gender, maybe just on this podcast. So maybe there are some that, you know, want someone like that, but that's not my experience.
Yeah. Aside from all that baloney about, like, this movie made me feel like the millennials, I think they are a reaction to all the wrong things with baby boomer. And this movie was trying to, like, preach the opposite.
Yeah, it was trying to, but it sold me on millennials. Like, I respect millennials more.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He's like, don't say nick. And Samuel Jackson's like, what the? Don't say nick. What's wrong with you? And you're like, well, that's kind of cool. Like, yeah, I'm sold on millennials. Like, I'm like, millennials have kind of figured out some stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So the old generation hasn't.
Aside from all of that, Samuel L. Jackson was really funny. And it could have been so much more entertaining if they didn't try to make it so, I don't know, masculine. What's the word? Why it was so annoying?
Well, I'm just looking right now at the movie poster for Shaft. And like the tagline for it is more Shaft than you can handle. Oh, so yeah. I don't know what you guys were expecting going into it. I mean,
the preview was funny, though. It was funny. It had a lot of really funny moments.
There were some good moments.
His dance fighting, that came out of nowhere.
Just kidding.
Oh, that's capoeira. And I loved seeing that because in Brazil, that's pretty big. So supposedly that's a big part of Brazilian culture. Is like there were Brazilian slaves and they had to act like they were dancing. So the slave masters didn't realize they were learning basically a martial art, but it was really fighting. I thought that was really cool just because I have a soft spot for anything Brazilian. Mm-hmm. And he did it really well. I mean, you could like the thing that was kind of incongruent is he was like, oh, I'm a millennial. I hate guns. I throw them out the window. I don't want to touch them. But then the second he gets a gun, he's like, he knows how to load and unload. Yeah. And like he's a dead shot and stuff. And then as soon as he finishes killing everybody, he's like, ooh, I hate guns. And he tosses it out of his hands. It's kind of lame. But
you can't throw a gun out the window. There are kids. There are kids in the neighborhood.
But he was a bad A in his own right, you know, with the capoeira in the club. He takes down that bully. Okay, I was just going to say Alexandra Shipp was somewhat wasted in this movie because this is such a kind of dumb movie and she's so great. But she was the one that played Sasha. She also plays Storm in X-Men. So she was just in Dark Phoenix that came out. And she is excellent in Deadpool 2. I don't know if you saw this, but she has this power where she's lucky.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's auditioning to be part of the X-Force team with Deadpool.
X-Force.
And he's like, what's your power? She's like, well, I'm lucky. And he's like, that's not a power. That's like, you're not lucky. That's not a thing. But then they show her, like, they jump out of the plane. Everybody, like, dies on landing. She lands on this big soft blow-up thing. And then a guy tries to shoot her, but his gun is out of bullets. Like, they portray it really good.
She was really good.
She's great in that movie.
My favorite part about Shaft was there. So his ex-wife is on a date at the restaurant. Shaft figures it out and he wants to be there to like see her or whatever. So he shows up with those two girls. And then, of course, a gunfight breaks out. So her date, did you notice during the fight, her date is like screaming in the background? It kept happening. He kept squealing. And finally, the girl's like, you got to grow a pair. I thought him freaking out about the gunfight was so funny. And the noises he made. Yeah.
I really like the three generations. I like seeing Shaft and his dad and the son. I thought that was a cool visual. Like, it was three generations of men, and they all go by Shaft, and they're all kind of like a black James Bond. And I thought that was cool. It was a little hokey, but it was giving me just a little bit of tear in my eye seeing like the three generations together.
Andrew perked up.
I just wish they didn't show that in the preview that his dad was going to be there.
Yes, I know. It kind of ruined it.
It didn't happen until late in the movie, and I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, that scene in the poster with all three of them, that's the last scene of the movie. Like, they don't like roll in looking like that until it all comes together in the very last scene.
Yeah, in their Matrix jackets.
And they're walking across this.
I thought that was so funny. Because I was thinking he looks a lot like Lawrence Fishburne from the Matrix with the jacket. Then they dress it in the movie.
That was funny. Okay, anything else on Shaft?
I was just checking my notes because I made a bunch of notes because I was annoyed when I walked out. I think I went through it. We talked about it. It's too bad. It could have been so much better if they... I would love a PG version of this movie, or a PG-13.
I think what would have fixed it, if they had played Samuel L. Jackson's character, if they had kind of made fun of him for his kind of like being tone deaf, instead of trying to portray the millennial as the idiot, I could have gotten on board with it, you know, because it is kind of funny to see, like, Lisa, you were talking about the old guy in the restaurant. You kind of give him a pass because he's racist, but he's old, you know. The next movie to join the top 10 in the box office was Men in Black International.
We've never faced a threat like the Hive. They can take the form of anyone.
I haven't seen that before.
Even our own agents.
Do we have a plan?
You know, sometimes you have to trust your gut.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Men in Black International. It earned $28 million over the weekend. It was, critically, it performed worse than Shaft. Shaft was 34%. Men in Black International was 24%. What did you guys think?
I saw it.
Oh, good. Andy, you go first then.
Yeah.
I find that girl pretty cute. Like, she's an attractive girl, that black girl. So it was kind of...
Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, so it was pretty, like... She's not like Megan Fox, but, like, she's more like a tomboy cute. Like, I don't know. She's just, so it was entertaining.
Like Harry Potter?
No. I mean.
I know what you mean. Yeah, she's really attractive.
I didn't quite enjoy it as much as the other ones, the other Men in Black.
Men in Black.
And I think it was because I love, what's the guy?
Will Smith.
Will Ferrell? Will Smith.
Yeah. So close.
Although that would be an amazing take on Men in Black. Will Ferrell was one of them.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way, Andy, as I left it. It was a Men in Black movie, but it only kind of felt like a Men in Black movie. Like, it hit the points, but it just felt hollow. Like, remember the first Men in Black? It was a legitimate mystery, and they're trying to solve this case, and the enemy's building, and they're gaining strength, and they have to, like, track it down. This had, like, fight scenes and shootouts, but wasn't ever leading or building to anything.
Yeah, the story was poor.
I guess my question is, did it have an awesome rap song to go with it, like the first Men in Black?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Because that, I feel like, I think that was like the biggest like cultural mark that the first Men in Black had, was that Will Smith song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a good
rapper.
Actually,
this time, it would have been Women in Black, because you notice they address this, is it Men in Black or Women in Black? It should be, and that's the same thing they did in X-Men, like, it should be X-Women.
That was kind of funny, you know. And there was this joke that Chris Hemsworth made with Tessa Thompson in Thor Ragnarok, because they were paired up in that movie too. And he's like, oh, you're part of the woman Valkyrie warriors. I can't remember what they're called. And he's like, it's about time, right, for women. And he's obviously pandering to her, like, go, you know, girl power. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, she kind of rolls her eyes. And there's a scene in this movie where he does basically the same joke. He's like, we're men in black, men and women in black. And he turns to her and gives her a thumbs up. And she's kind of like...
Yeah, that was in the preview.
She's kind of rolling her eyes. Yeah, it was.
He's like, look, I did it. Like, look how good I am. I acknowledged it's not just men.
Yeah, it is interesting with both X-Men and Men in Black. It now we have, in both of these franchises, there's women. And all of a sudden, it seems weird to be like, why would you name it Men in Black?
I know.
If there's women, and all of a sudden, we have this new sensibility where it's kind of sexist that it's Men in Black. Why isn't it a different name? Like, whatever, Agents in Black or something.
Wasn't that so funny when, is it Emma Thompson who's the, like, the chief of the...
Yeah.
She says to her, why isn't Men in Black? Why isn't women? She's like, trust me, it's a whole thing. I tried to have the conversation. I thought that was right. So good, because they acknowledged it, because I'm sure a lot of people are thinking just what you said, but they acknowledge it like it's this whole big thing. Like, you know what? You're right. You can't just rename a whole franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right. Whatever. I mean, it didn't, but there's these two women talking that are members of Men in Black. It seems like, okay, maybe we should update the name, you know, like, eventually you take down the flag for the Confederacy in the Southern states. Yeah. Like, eventually you can update things. And I thought it would have been cool at the end of the movie if they change the name to and something
what,
else. But.
Like, what would you change it to?
You could be Agents in Black or Black, whatever. I don't know. I don't know. But, you could crowdsource it, put it on Squad Help.
Because you know what happens if you say, like, people, let's just say they go with people, then they're going to decide in 5 years, like, wait, we want a Men in Black that has aliens, and so we can't say people. We have to, like,
to include
like,
the aliens.
Organisms, you know.
Well, that's a good point. Good point. That's a good point.
And that's something it's about this movie slope. That it kind of, I don't know, like I was trying to think, why didn't it land it? Why did it feel so hollow? Because the first movies or the first ones, they introduced these alien characters that were really interesting because they were aliens and they had like, learning about them and,
mm-hmm. And they caught you off guard too, because they looked like people and then you're like, oh my gosh, it's an alien. Yeah.
But this movie, the way they did the aliens, it was more like just wallpaper. They were just different people who were super diverse that were just kind of there in the background and they didn't really have a part or any meaning.
I really liked the creature.
The beard guy?
The creature design, I was going to say. Oh. The beard guy was... I don't know, that was really silly, but I thought what was cool is the woman with three arms.
Yes.
That was cool.
That was really cool.
And the fight
cool.
scenes and stuff with
wasn't
her.
It four arms?
And
it's just like two.
I thought it was just one in the back. I was trying to see because I never saw four at
they
once.
They never showed it. Looked four. Like there was, it would just magically pop out.
Yeah. I think it was just one straight out of the back.
That was her. A really
she
cool
she had like
fight
a third
scene.
Arm. Yeah. It was almost like that guy in Star Wars that has four or six arms, right? And six lightsabers. I can't remember what his.
Oh, the robot
who it is.
Guy? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I don't remember. I don't think he's in. I think he's just in the animated series. I don't know if he's in the real. But anyway, yeah. I mean, they show a fight scene with somebody with a third arm. It's like they totally have an advantage. Yeah. She literally like reaches out and chokes her with the middle arm, and then grabs both of her hands. Like, how would you beat somebody with three arms? Yeah. That'd be such a good advantage. And the speaking of the creature design, there was a payoff with this little. I guess there's an alien that looks almost like a stuffed animal. It's like super cute and stuff. And the Molly is the character, Tessa Thompson's character. When she's little, she kind of befriends this little alien, and that's how she discovers like the whole Men in Black concept. And that pays off later, but you don't. You know, it's kind of a spoiler, but. And then the Camille, what's his name? Camille Nanjiani?
Kumal.
Character? He's like a Kumal? He's a pawn. His alien is literally a pawn on a chessboard, and the queen on the chessboard dies, and he's like looking for another queen, and he latches on to Tessa Thompson and as his queen, and he becomes this like really dutiful and obedient servant during the movie, and he's like a little sidekick that's hanging out on her shoulder, and he gave some excellent comic relief. That scene when they're like fixing the motorcycle, and he has to be like the go-between, like they won't talk to each other.
They're passing messages through him, and he adds his flair on what they actually mean.
It was such good chemistry with Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, and they've acted together a lot already, so we already knew they had good chemistry because in Thor Ragnarok they have good chemistry, but he was such a good comic relief on top of that. I was really surprised how poorly this did in Rotten Tomatoes and with critics, because I got a classic Men in Black vibe, and I thought it was fun. It was light, and maybe the story could have been polished a little more, but I took Mika and Sienna, my two teenage daughters, and they both loved it, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it definitely wasn't bad. I agree with the ratings. I'm on IMDb, and it shows 5.6 out of 10. That's over 10,000 people rated that, and that's about where I'm at. So it wasn't bad. It just, I feel like the earlier ones were better stories and executed better. This was like, it's like they were in the Men in Black universe, but it wasn't, I don't know, it just didn't nail it the way the others did.
You know, last week we were talking about bringing Will Smith in for a cameo or something.
Yeah.
That really would have helped the film.
I'm surprised
they tied him in just one scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder why. And the other interesting thing is Emma Thompson was competing with herself. She was in Late Night, which was expanded to wide release this week. And she looks exactly the same as the head of the American division of Men in Black in this movie. I was like, oh my gosh, it's hard for me to look at her and not think she's like a talk show host. But now she's like Men in Black. She looks the same. She's got the same hair and everything. And now her two movies are out competing with each other on the same weekend.
There was a similarity in this movie. Tessa Thompson Thompson's character, Agent M, and the son is also a star, they both said the same line. They both said something like, I don't believe in love because it can't be measured. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Like, was this the same writer in both movies? Like, why would...
I know.
It was so dumb. And it...
It was.
It just came out of nowhere. Yeah. Like, in the problem I had with the girl saying that in The Sun is Also a Star, I had with this, mm-hmm. Tessa Thompson, they're both super attractive. They're really bubbly. They're fun. They're, you know, and to have someone with that personality say, oh, yeah, I don't believe in love. It just,
yeah.
I can believe someone who just.
Who's like 40 and has who never
maybe
been
looks
married.
Really unhappy and, like, you know, and doesn't really want to talk. I don't know. It just did not fit their characters.
But you also have to think about, like, her backstory, right? Like the character, because say, I mean, I don't know anything about it, but just because someone's bubbly or attractive doesn't mean that, like, maybe she hasn't seen someone in her life have their life totally derailed by falling in love and make terrible decisions and, like, not go to college or, like, not take a really good job. Or so, like, it's not necessarily how they look or what their personality is.
You
have to think about, like, life experience and seeing someone make a bad decision like that based on love. I think that it would be easy to go analytical about it and be like, well, I'm not letting that happen. You know what I mean?
Ben, did you notice that gag with Thor's hammer?
Yes.
No.
He picked up the hammer and it looked like he was Thor and he threw it and the guy caught it. Is that what you're talking?
Well, he got... Yeah, but it was a little hammer. It was like, it was the shape of Thor's hammer.
But it was really small, like, but...
It was a little hammer.
No, I missed that.
And he picks it up and he throws it at that guy, that alien. And the alien catches it and he's like, that was a remarkable catch. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's from one of the Thor movies where somebody catches it. He says that exact line, doesn't he? Somebody catches his hammer and he says, that was a remarkable catch.
Yes,
I've got to look that
happen.
Up. That's in Avengers or something.
Let's just say it.
It does? Do you remember what movie?
No, let's just say it does because it's too good to be true.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was obviously meta humor, wasn't it? I mean, Chris Hemsworth gets a hammer.
I can't believe I missed that.
A little hammer.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to movies opening this week. First, we have Toy Story 4.
Woody?
Why am I alive?
You are a toy.
You belong to Bonnie.
These are your friends.
Woody, I have a question. Well, actually, not just one. I have all the questions.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Toy Story 4. I got to admit, this makes me nervous because Toy Story had a perfect trilogy. Mm-hmm. It's beloved. And now they're trying to cash in by adding on another one. It's like, sometimes these sequels seem like a money grab. But
no,
this does have 100%.
This is not about money.
Yeah.
This does have 100%.
This is about art.
In charity.
It does have 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, this is who's the guy at Pixar who came up with these characters?
Lasseter?
Yes, John Lasseter. Didn't he have a bunch of drama because he's groping women or something or making inappropriate advances on women? And isn't he basically ousted from Pixar right now?
I mean, it's hard to keep track of all the people that have had to be ousted.
Yeah,
I know.
But I think he was one of them.
And so these are other people carrying forward the narrative with his children. I mean, he's a great storyteller, but anyway, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It can't be that bad.
So look at the voices. So Keanu Reeves, he's listed as the first credited cast. He plays Duke Kaboom, or the voice. So did you notice that IMDb does a thing where if you pull up like a movie, it will list the actors in order of popularity based on how many people are clicking on those actors' names recently. So Keanu Reeves is first. Tom Hanks
is number one.
He's the first one listed.
On all of IMDb or just for this
movie?
For
this movie.
Okay.
And then Jordan Peele does a voice, the bunny voice.
Yeah.
Tim Allen. Oh, yeah, he's Buzz.
Lisa.
I recognize.
Yes.
Do you find...
Oh, Betty White.
Do you find Keanu Reeves handsome?
I do, yeah.
Thank you.
The guns, I told you.
No, it's not the guns. Did anyone see that it was like trending this past week about how Keanu Reeves is respectful of women in photos? Like, did you guys see that?
I did not.
I saw that. And
it seems so.
Awesome.
What did he do?
It seems so weird.
So
he just doesn't touch women.
Yeah, they're just saying that he's really respectful of women in photos because they'll have their arms around him and you can see his hand and there's like a gap between his hand and like the woman's back or something.
Smart.
And so like. like a bunch of women are writing like he's even better than we thought he was. Like he also respects women, and they like some of these photos are pretty old. So they date back a while, so it's like, oh, he's so ahead of his time. And anyway,
that is funny. I am always so awkward around women. I'll see women at work, like for our Christmas party every. I mean, I see when I go into the office, not often, you know. And so I'll see people I haven't seen them for a month or two, and sometimes they want to give me a hug, and I'm like, sure, but I don't want to initiate a hug, right? Because I feel like it's weird.
That's how I feel too.
And Lisa, when we went boating with your family this weekend, you came and gave me a hug, and I was like, okay, hi, okay, you give me a hug, I'm going to give a hug back. And then your mom walked up and said, hi, Seth, how are you? And she reached in for a hug. I was like, okay, I'm going to hug back. And I'm standing there like, I'm such an awkward stiff. I don't know what, like, people make fun of me because I don't give hugs. But on the other hand, you, like, I don't know what to do.
Well, yeah, you don't want to cross the line. You don't want to make it uncomfortable.
So when I saw Keanu Reeves, I'm like, I wonder if he's just really awkward like I am around women. Like, he doesn't know
where to put
what's the
hand.
Appropriate thing to do. Yeah.
Seth, I don't think that's awkward. It's trying to be respectful.
But when you look at the photos, Ben, it does look awkward. It looks weird. He's like, these women are like right up against him. His hands are out like, I'm not touching anything. You know, he's like with the police when he gets out of his car holding his hands up like, I'm not grabbing her butt. I promise. It's really weird. It's just unnatural, you know? So the next movie out next week in wide release is Anna.
It's quite the fairy tale you got going on here. From top flight model in Moscow to rubbing shoulders with the elite. What was the nature of your relationship with Oleg Filenkov?
I just played a clip from the trailer for Anna. I mean, this is not yet rated on Rotten Tomatoes, which usually means it wasn't pre-screened. And based on my history of looking at these scores, it means it's going to come out with a low rating. That's just total speculation, but that's been true so far. So I hope that's not true because this looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks like Atomic Blonde, but even, you know, done very well, like even better maybe. So...
the preview.
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, the preview looks really cool. The music's really good, and you noticed there's two main characters, the Anna, and then like the police detective following her. The shots they showed, their eyes were too blue. Like most of the room was gray.
Yeah,
kind of towards a grayscale, yeah. And their eyes are just like bright blue.
Right.
It looked cool though. She's like this chameleon model who takes out bad guys, I guess, and beats up the whole room of people.
Mm-hmm. And didn't we get a sexpionage movie from Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah.
Recently,
like Red. Something.
So maybe. Oh yeah, Red? That's with retired grandmas and grandpas.
No. Wait. No, she played like a Russian. Wait, I think that I'm realizing that. I think guys are turned on by women that can get in fights and kill other people.
Of course.
So that's probably why they write that they think women are like that, right? Because maybe that's what they like.
I don't know.
Oh, so it was like projecting.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. It was like projecting onto women what turns men on. Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're like, oh, we need a female lead, but it's got to be action. Oh, she's super powerful. I think it's that simple. Lisa doesn't agree with me.
Okay, and the next movie out this week in wide release is Child's Play.
At Caslon, we believe that happiness is about more than entertainment. It's about being known, understood, loved. Introducing your new best friend.
People, let me tell you about my best friend.
I just played a clip from the trailer for Child's Play. This is not yet rated on Rotten Tomatoes, so maybe it's going to be a dud, but is this a Chucky movie? It looks like Chucky to me.
Yeah, it is Chucky.
Okay. Is it Chucky? Okay. So is it like a continuation of the franchise?
Oh, yeah. You didn't see the preview?
I did, but I never saw the original movie.
It's Chucky, and it appears that he has power over all electronics. Anything with electricity, he has power over, and he uses it to kill people and stuff. It looked pretty cool, except... Oh. The very end of the trailer, whoever does the Chucky voice says something like, "Are you ready to play?" But it's really cheesy. It sounded really cheesy, like really bad.
Okay, Ben, do you know who does the voice of Chucky? It's Mark Hamill, who is the original Luke Skywalker, and he's also did the voice of the Joker in the Batman series, in the animated Batman series.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he's actually like supposedly he does an excellent Joker. Like, people talk about how he's, you know, does such a good voice. He's the best Joker ever, you know, people will say. I've heard people say that. So, yeah, I guess he's just doing his Joker voice in this. I don't know. Okay, that looks like, I don't know. It'll be scary. I'm kind of tired of seeing these scary movies. They're scaring me.
I know, they're hard for me to watch.
I hate scary movies.
Okay.
You ever cry in those, Seth, like you cry in everything else?
Let me think. I'm not sure. I do cry in a lot of movies.
Like, if a guy cries in a movie, it probably, to me, would depend on what movie he's crying in and, like, how much he's crying. Because, like, if I looked over and, you know, like, if I looked over and if you were bawling in Late Night or something, I might be like, Seth, get a grip. Like, are you okay? Like, what is happening? Seth's crying right now, I think. But,
that's why I like to go to movies alone. So I can just, I can just let it all out. Because, you know? I'm with Karen. She catches me. I'm so embarrassed.
She does.
Like, I have to literally, like, yeah, if, well, I have.
Does she say something? Like, what's going on with you? Like, what?
Yeah, basically. And I'm like, just let me have my moment.
It's so,
you know,
cute though, Seth.
Let me enjoy this.
That's why it makes it even more cute.
I actually like that about you, though.
Well, I don't think that's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's, I think that goes back to the masculinity that we were sold as kids that I reject. It's like, you have to be macho. And I don't think that's, you know, like, allowing, like, little boys and stuff to show emotion and feel loved. And
yeah,
like, I think that's important.
Yeah.
We had a babysitter once. Our son was crying and the babysitter was like, come on, Stellan, like, be a man. You're okay. And we're both tough.
You're a boy.
No, no, no.
Be tough.
I mean, we let him wear princess dresses, so, like, I'm pretty sure we're fine with him crying.
That's
funny. He's just a little kid.
Yeah. I've just decided I'm not going to get married, so that's what I'll tell girls when they ask my age. If they're younger than me, say, don't worry about
it. If
they
ask your age, you're like, no, I'm not getting married.
I'm not getting married. Don't worry about it. Just be my friend. Just don't even worry about it. It's none of your business.
Hey, how are you? Good. I'm Andrew. Look, I'm not getting married. No one asked you. I just asked you if I could use a treadmill, man. Calm down.
All right. Thanks for listening to TWIM. If you want to help us, the best thing you can do is subscribe to the podcast and rate us on iTunes. If you have some insights about any of the movies we covered, feel free to record it using voice memos and email it to thisweekinmoviespodcast@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter at @TWIM_weekly. And what else do I say? I think that's it. So see you next week.
You guys need like a tagline sign off. Like, I hope I'm deserving of your time.
Lisa, I think one of the funniest things I've heard about you and Ben is Ben was telling a story, I think on the podcast, about you guys being at a restaurant and some old man was watching you with your kids being like,
oh my gosh,
oh, that lady is so nice to take care of that that man's little kids because you're like Korean looking and your kids are blonde and so people assume that you're not the mother.
Yeah, that was
is that what happened?
That was a big patience moment for me. I was trying, because, you know, you have to keep in mind, at least for me, like, this man was old, right? So he's just from a different generation, and I guess I was giving some allowances for that. But we're in St. George, and this man, he had to be at least 80, in his 80s.
Yeah, he was really old.
Because he was there with what looked like his son, and the son was probably, like, older than my dad. But anyway, so since this is a podcast and people can't see us, I'm half Korean, Ben is blonde with blue eyes, and our kids have blonde hair and blue eyes. So we're sitting there, and I'm just taking care of our kids, and
I just went to the bathroom.
Ben gets up to go to the bathroom, and this old man thinks that he's, like, whispering to his son next to him, but he's not. He's so loud. It's like, do you see? And now in my mind, I'm probably exaggerating it, but he said something like, "Do you see that girl over there taking such good care of her husband's kids? Like, what a great stepmom to them, or something, like, or she's so nice to his kids," or something like that. And I was just like, just, it's fine, like, I'm just gonna ignore it, like, but he just kept going on and on about it. And, like, anyway, so finally Ben gets back to the table and I was just like, we gotta go. And he's like, what happened? Like, he thought something happened with the kids. But I was like, I am gonna lose it soon, because he just kept going on like, look at her kiss them, their cheeks. That's so nice. You'd think they were her own or something like that. I would be like, they are my own. Well,
I bet you never saw that coming, Lisa. Like being,
we thought they would have dark hair.
I know. Well, the funny thing is, so my mom has blonde hair and blue eyes, right? And so for me, it doesn't necessarily, like, it doesn't really affect me that the kids don't look at like me as much, because it's not like I look like my mom. So I don't feel like there's like, I don't put a lot of like our, sorry, I can't think of the right way to say it. Like, I don't put a lot of stock in like, oh, my kids aren't as attached
you're
to me.
You're kind of
I don't,
used
I
to
love
it.
Them or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just what I'm used to, because I don't look like my mom. And like, we would always hear comment, like people would always ask my mom like, oh, like, where did you adopt your kids from or something? She's like, they're not adopted. They're just my kids. You probably don't.
How do I say this politically correct? Asians have almond eyes, kind of, and your kids are blonde and they kind of have Asian eyes.
Yeah, that is like a feature a lot of times, like an almond shape eye. So yeah, it's politically incorrect if you like ask someone like, oh, how can you see out of those, which has happened to a friend of mine. I'm dead serious.
I would never.
And my friend was like, does she think that just like an entire continent of people walk around not being able to see? It's fun. You guys, being another race in the U.S., it's fun sometimes. Well, the funny thing is, too, before Ben and I got married, sorry, this is a little tangent, but I remember, like, thinking, oh, the ball studs are also great. Like, no one has made, like, a thing or an issue about, you know, because I'm half Korean, marrying into a family where there's really not a lot of other...
There's no diversity.
Like, there's not a lot of other diversity. Yeah, and I have friends that, like, have not experienced it. And actually, like, one of my siblings, too, has not experienced, like, the same thing. And so but I remember thinking, like, oh, well, when we have, like, when we take big family pictures with all the cousins and stuff, like, oh, man, like, my kids and I are going to stand out so much. And my kids have blonde hair and blue eyes, so just I stand out.
Now it's only you.
But that's okay.